May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn 892. 892. Art thou by sin a captive led? Is sin thy daily grief? The man who brake the serpent's head can bring thee sweet relief. Hymn 892.
Together this evening from God's holy word in the gospel according to Matthew and chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And he entered into a ship, and passed over, and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk, but that ye may know, that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marvelled, and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn, as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles would break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about And when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house, and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place. For the maid is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straitly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of devils. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the labourers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labourers into his harvest. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and help us to pray. Dear Lord, Almighty God in heaven above, once more we come before thy face, and once more thy blessing ask. We do pray, Lord, that we might be given a heart to pray. Quicken us, O Lord, and we will call upon thy name. Lord, do help each one of us to pour out our hearts unto thee. Lord, teach us those things that we have need of. Lord, help us as we come before thee to come rightly, to come just as we are, with our woe, and to fall down at the feet of the Lamb. Lord, help us to come in humility. Lord, we pray that we might acknowledge thy majesty and thy greatness and thy power, and our nothingness in our insufficiency before thee. Lord, keep us from thinking thou art altogether such an one as ourselves. Lord, may we have right views of thy greatness. And yet, Lord, may we each have a hope that though thou art high, thou hast respect even unto the lowly. So, Lord, as we come before thee, make us lowly, make us humble, make us meek. Lord, the opposite of how we are by nature. Lord, do keep us from that great sin of pride. Keep us from being like Theudas, who thought himself to be somebody. Lord, may we come like thy servant the apostle, though I be nothing. Lord, may each of us be brought to feel it, nothing in self. Lord, we do pray that we might find thee to be our all and in all. Though of myself I nothing am, I am dear to God and to the Lamb. Though I have nothing, I confess all things in Jesus that I possess. Lord, we do pray that we might each feel it, nothing in self, everything in thee. Lord, do lift us above earthly things as we once more are spared to be in thy house. Lord, we do pray that our eyes might be up unto thee. Lord, may each one of us here this evening and listening in be looking unto Jesus. Lord, keep us from all distractions. Keep us from the things of yesterday, the things of tomorrow, the week that is before us if we are spared. We do pray, Lord, that we might know a real Sabbath day. Lord, that we might know a true day of rest. That rest which remaineth in Christ for the people of God. Lord, perhaps there is one this evening who says, oh, that I now that rest might know. Lord, we do pray there might be an entering in by faith into these things. Lord, to the one who gives rest. Lord, we thank thee for thy word that we have before. It is indeed a heavenly field. We do pray, Lord, from this heavenly field, there might be even this night a few handfuls of purpose, Lord, for those who hear thy word, Lord, especially for those who hunger and thirst, especially for those who feel greatly their need of thee. Lord, those who have that aching void that this world can never fill. Lord, we do pray that that aching void might be filled with thee. May it be in of his fullness. Have all we received, and grace for grace. Lord, do fill our hearts this evening with thy love. Lord, warm our cold hearts with heavenly heat. Lord, may there be that drawing of our hearts unto thee Lord, to know more of thee, more of thy love, more life, more liberty, more light. Lord, reveal thyself to us this evening. Lord, have compassion upon us. Send us not empty away. We pray, Lord, that there might be something for us as we meet around thy word. Lord, accept thy spirit applies the word. Lord, there can be no good except the Lord build the house. They labour in vain that build it. Lord, we have nothing good to bring. Lord, we would come in all our need, our wretchedness, our filthiness, and plead the merits of the Lord Jesus. We plead his righteousness for our unrighteousness. Lord, we do desire to know more of thee. Lord, may we flee from the things of this world, those things that we may have counted gain, may we now count them as loss. Lord, and treat them as dung that we may flee unto thee, we might be found in thee, not having on our own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of thee. Lord, may it be the desire of each one of us that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. May we each come like Mary, saw ye him whom my soul loveth. Lord, may we each feel thy gracious presence. May we hear thee say, as it were, Mary, Rabboni. Lord, do reveal thyself to us. Make thyself precious to us each. Lord, if there are any here who are unconcerned, any who perhaps think there is plenty of time, they need not worry about the things of God for now, or perhaps even have no interest whatsoever. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt have mercy upon them. Lord, open the eyes of each of us to see the solemnity of eternity. Lord, as it were, the eternity of eternity. Lord, we cannot comprehend what it must be. Lord, we do pray for each one of us in all our differences and various circumstances. Lord, not one of us might hear thee say in that day, I never knew you. Lord, may we hear thee say, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Lord, we do pray that in that day it might be to hear thee say, come, for all things are now ready. Lord, may we each be prepared for that prepared place. Lord, may we each be among those for whom thou didst say, I go to prepare a place for you. Lord, leave not one of us out, nor though not one of us deserve it. We pray for each one here, those who are unable to be here, those who may be listening in. We pray Once more for each of the dear children and young people, we pray thy blessing on the Sunday school this afternoon. And Lord, do watch over them each and keep them and help them and direct them and bless them. May it be that they are favoured to know thee and to follow thee and to serve thee whilst they are young. Lord, we pray for those in the midst of life, those with many burdens, those who are sad, those who are perhaps feeling overwhelmed with the many cares and duties of their pathway. Lord, those who have deep waters to walk in. Lord, there may be those who are unwell. Lord, we do pray for that grace to help in time of need. Those who are older, those who feel the infirmities of their age, and Lord, younger ones, older ones can feel weakness. Lord, may we find that in thee is our strength. So Lord, remember each one. Lord, we cannot and do not know the needs that each one has. We do thank thee, Lord, that every need is known unto thee, and thou wilt not forget thy people. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. So Lord, do have mercy upon us each. Do bless this church and people. Bless those who have joined us this evening from other places. Lord, remember them, bless them, and bless those places where they come from. Lord, may there be an outpouring of thy Spirit. Lord, may there be that building up of thy people, the turning of many hearts unto thee. Lord, do open the eyes of those who have the authority over us. Lord, cause them to hear thy voice. And raise up many, Lord, as we read of just now. We pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send out more labourers. Lord, we pray that it might be so. We pray for each of thy servants who preach. Bless them and help them, strengthen them, their families also. We pray especially tonight for Mr. Robert Field, expecting to shortly go into hospital for a major operation. Lord, do be very near to him, strengthen and help him, and the family also. We pray that what is done might be a success, that he might once more be enabled to preach the everlasting gospel. We pray for his people in the time that he has laid aside, in those places where he would have expected to preach. Lord, do make it up to them. Now, Lord, do help us as we turn to thy word. Leave us not to ourselves. Lord, do pour in and fill us with thy love. Lord, lead us into thy truth. Teach us by thy Spirit. Forgive what we may have asked for wrongly, and make up where we have failed. And do plunge us each in that crimson ocean, that fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 331. 331. Beset with snares on every hand, in life's uncertain path I stand. Saviour divine, diffuse thy light to guide my doubtful footsteps right. Hymn 331.
Dependence upon the Lord for his help, I would ask you to turn this evening to the book of Psalms, number 62, and the last few words in verse 11. Psalm 62, verse 11, power belongeth unto God. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we have these three words at the beginning of this verse? God hath spoken. The wonderful truth of it, God hath spoken. He hath spoken through his word. And he's still speaking to poor unworthy sinners. Has he spoken to you? And has he spoken to me? Do we heed the voice of God through his word? We have those striking words at the beginning of the prophecy of Isaiah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. And do we have a desire for the Lord to speak to us? How many of us have come to chapel this evening and we want to hear the Lord's voice? And are there any of you who would rather not hear the voice of God? We have that hymn written by Mrs. Jempson in the Young People's Hymn Book. For one great favour oft I've prayed, pray that thy love might be displayed in one soft word to be conveyed. O speak to me. I think it was here this morning where I said these things are personal. Real religion is personal. Speak to me. God has spoken once. It does not mean he has only spoken once. He spake in the beginning. He speaks in his word. He speaks to his people. It means here what he has spoken is sure. What he has spoken once is unalterable. Is immutable. It cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. Because it's spoken by one who cannot lie. God has spoken once. His word shall stand. His truth shall prevail. And not one jot or tittle fail. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this. These two things that the psalmist David here has heard, what are they? Firstly, these words of our text. The power belongeth unto God. And there's one other thing here that David speaks of that belongs to the Lord God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. So this evening, with the Lord's help, we will especially think of power, strength, belonging to God. But don't forget what else belongs to the Lord. Here we have mercy. Also, we have elsewhere salvation. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. And in thinking of his power with the Lord's help, we will also consider the saving power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. We have, I think it comes in Daniel, righteousness. Righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us, the confusion of faces. What a separation, what a difference, what a contrast we have there. And in the beginning, this evening, we would do well to remember that the opposite to our text is true. What do I mean? Power belongeth unto God. The power does not belong unto us. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. It does not belong to us. That is, we cannot give it. And righteousness belongeth unto God. That is, it does not belong to us. That is, not in our nature. The wonderful mercy of these things that we have before us in the Word of God. These things that Almighty God gives, power, salvation, mercy, righteousness, they are His. But in His unspeakable mercy to unworthy, unspeakably sinful creatures, He gives of His fullness. He gives in measure of His power. He gives His saving power. He imputes His righteousness to them. They in themselves are anything but righteous. But in the Lord, righteousness is theirs. Through Him, they are righteous. Through Him, as we think back to the Song of Solomon, Thou art all fair. The same book in which we noticed this morning, it says, I am black, but comely. Thou art all fair. My love, there is no spot. No spot in Thee. So we have these wonderful things that belong unto God. But in His mercy and love to His people, He bestows these great gifts, these great benefits to them. Not because they deserve it, not because of any good in them, but because of His mercy, because of His loving kindness, because of the multitude of His tender mercies. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. We have this power displayed right from the beginning of the Word of God, right from creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Power belongeth unto God. Power doesn't belong to anything else. It doesn't belong to the scientists. It doesn't belong to all these false theories of how the world came into being. It belongs to God. You know, so much that is wrong in our day, it would rob the truth of this word if it could. So much that is taught that is evil robs the glory of God, His power, in all that He has done and all that He is doing. The power belongeth unto God. And so we should acknowledge it. As we see the wonders of God in creation, as he spake, and it was done. As He created all things in those 6 days, and rested on the seventh. He saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. You know, I hadn't thought to say this at all, but only a week or two ago I read something. I think some astronomers had found something new, perhaps a new galaxy, something they hadn't expected to find. And they said, well, this changes everything that we knew. We'll have to rethink this. Everything that we've learnt, we'll have to unlearn, we'll have to start again. And we'll have to try and find a theory for how this galaxy was formed. Well, the Word of God tells us. The answer is before us. By His power, He spake the world into being. Power belongeth unto God. We have, I think, in the Jeremiah chapter 32, we have the Lord God of hosts who created all things by His great power. You created the earth. Nehemiah prayed unto the Lord, verse 16 and 17, Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Power belongeth unto God. There is nothing too hard for thee. Well, how many things in our lives that are too hard for us? Do we realize this? There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Do we try to fix those hard things in our lives all by ourselves? We're forgetting this, that power belongeth unto God. It's wonderful what we have in the Psalms of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And let me just turn to it so I can quote it. But he hears the prayers of his people. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. Psalm 121. From whence cometh my help? Listen to this. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He made them by the greatness of his power. And in his matchless condescension, he helps his people. He provides for them. In the greatness of his power, that one who spake all things into being out of nothing, our help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. There is nothing too hard for thee. Power to help, power to deliver, power to make the mountains away. Power to bring to nothing the opposition. Power to keep us. Power to guide us. Power to direct us. Power belongeth unto God. It comes to my mind of the Queen of Sheba, wasn't it, who came to Solomon with all her hard questions. And no doubt they were very hard. And Solomon, he answered them all. He answered all of them, and she was amazed. But a greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Solomon is in this verse for our text. Power belongeth unto God. All the wisdom that Solomon had was given to him. He was given wisdom to ask for more wisdom. And so it is that the power, the glory in these things does not belong to that one who receives it, but belongs to the giver. Power belongeth unto God. So this evening, maybe you've got some hard questions, some hard things, but there's nothing too hard for the Lord, to whom all power is given in heaven and in earth, that power that created all things, that power that sustains all things, that power that day by day sustains the earth. That power that sends us the seasons, the times, the different weather. You know how much there is today. Why this has happened and why we have this and why we have that. And what are we going to do about it? Power belongeth unto God. All things are in his hand. All events are at his command. Your power belongeth unto God. And so we think of the greatness of the power Almighty God in creation, in sustaining the world. Yeah, but to come closer to us personally in our differences, our different needs, the pathways that we walk, The power belongeth unto God. Especially to think of the power to save. Power to save. That's why we read Matthew chapter 9. Here we see the power to save. It's a lovely chapter. So many wonderful things that we read of in Matthew chapter 9. What's behind it all? What's the secret of it? Power belongeth unto God. It is the power of Almighty God in the Lord Jesus here in displaying the greatness of his power. We have it, don't we, the exceeding greatness of his power. We have the one sick of a palsy lying on a bed. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And this upset the scribes. They were riled. They said, who can say these things? He's blaspheming. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, they said this within themselves. But the Lord Jesus knew, because power belongeth unto God. Just to pause here, there's that word, isn't there? The Lord knows the thoughts that come into our mind, every one of them. Power belongeth unto God. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Whether is easier, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. That ye may know. Do you know this evening? Have you proved it? That the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Mighty to save. Mighty power to save unworthy, lost, perishing sinners. That the Son of Man hath power. He had power in the days of Matthew chapter 9. His power is still the same this evening. As long as this world endures, he has power to save. He is mighty to save. A mighty Saviour. Well, the hymn says, a mighty Saviour suits us well. Well, does it suit you well this evening? A mighty Saviour, a great Saviour. Who does a mighty Saviour, a great Saviour suit well? It suits well a great sinner. One who feels their need. One who has been brought away from any hope in themselves. One who has been brought to see there is one mighty to save. Mighty to save over all their sin, over all their past, over all their history, over all their wretchedness, over all their mistakes. Mighty to save, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And so he proved it. Arise, take up thy bed. And he arose and departed to his house. Why? Because power belongeth unto God. How many we have through the Gospels in an impossible case, with an impossible condition, with an incurable disease, those who had sought help of so many, those who were nothing better, but rather grew worse. Those who spent all that they had, but power belongeth to God. And so we see it here. We see it later with a certain ruler who said, my daughter is even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him. And so did his disciples. Also with the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years. She said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. She was given faith to believe in the power that belongeth unto God. How often these who came to the Lord Jesus, they were brought in faith to see that he was able, he was powerful, he was mighty, mighty to save. But would he be willing? Would he do it for them? Would he deliver them? Would he save them? And so, how many times they came fearing and trembling. How many times we think of the one who the Lord Jesus said, if thou believest, all things are possible. How we have it with those blind men later in Matthew chapter 9. The blind men came to him. Well, they were pleading for mercy. Thou son of David, have mercy on us. Power, mercy, belongeth unto God. Have mercy on us. And the blind man came to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this. They did. They said unto him, yea, Lord. They believed that power belongeth unto God. Then touched he their eyes, according to your faith. Be it unto you, and their eyes were opened. The wonders of the power of Almighty God. That woman whose faith was made whole. The maid who was raised from death to life. The dumb man possessed with the devil. The devil was cast out. The dumb spake, because power belongeth unto God. And the multitudes marvelled and said it was never seen before in Israel. One more thing. This takes us back to Tuesday evening. Matthew, a man named Matthew, a tax collector, one who had lived, no doubt, a life of deceit and profiting from others, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. He didn't stop and say, what about my taxes? What about my money? What about this or that or the other? He arose and followed him. Because power belongeth unto God. Because, as we read of it, my people shall be willing in the day of my power. Has the Lord in his power made you willing to part with all and to follow him? Has the Lord made you willing to run in the ways of his commandments when he's enlarged your heart? You know, I think of it, and we have the one later in this chapter who prayed, my daughter is even now dead. And perhaps we think of it in this way. Those who we pray for, those who we ask the Lord to appear for, to deliver, to set free, to open their eyes, to raise, as it were, the dead to life. The power belongeth unto God. It doesn't belong to you or I. There's nothing we can do in and of ourselves to raise the dead to life. Now, that does not mean we shouldn't pray, but we pray in submission to the will of God. We pray believing that he is able to do those things, even though they may seem to be an impossibility to us. Perhaps it did for this certain ruler, even now dead. But he said, come, and she shall live. He was brought to believe, though it seemed, naturally speaking, an impossibility. But he believed that there was nothing too hard for the Lord. So the power is the Lord's. He is able to do far more than we can ask or even think. And he will, for these things, be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. How we need to be careful not to try to, as it were, put our own hand to the work. To try to do some of the work, as it were, ourselves. Because nothing that you or I can do will help. Nothing that you or I can do will do any good. The power belongeth unto God. And so we have it here in this chapter, the greatness of the power of God over these impossibilities, over these afflictions, over those who were brought to feel their need. A great Saviour for great sinners. We have that lovely word in Isaiah, in prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus, and he shall send them a Saviour and a great one, and he shall deliver them. Because power belongeth unto God, he shall deliver them. And he still says to those who are brought to feel their need, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. He still says that one who delivereth and rescueth, that one who is mighty to save, mighty over Satan, who has triumphed, who has conquered sin and Satan, death and hell, that one who has swallowed up death in victory. Power belongeth unto God. That power is not with thee, prince of the devils. He is given a measure of power, but he is not almighty. The power belongeth unto God. He is permitted in the Lord's providence, in the mysterious ways in which Almighty God moves, to afflict, to trouble, to tempt the people of God. But he can never destroy them, because power belongeth unto God. They may be brought very low. They may feel that they will be destroyed. They may, no doubt, feel that they deserve to be destroyed. But power belongeth unto God. He who has loved them bears them through and makes them more than conquerors too. And so we leave these accounts in Matthew chapter 9. And perhaps there's one of you this evening who feels to be like one of those waiting for the Lord, waiting for his appearing, waiting for his deliverance. What do we have earlier in this Psalm 62? Truly my soul waiteth upon God. He only is my rock and my salvation. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Have you got this evening an expectation? Can you say this evening, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? You may not be able to lay hold on it as you would like to, but have you been brought to see that there's no other way, no other way of salvation, but through the Lord Jesus Christ, who was swallowed up there in victory. In God is my salvation. My rock, my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah, think about it. Consider it. Trust in him at all times. Trust in him when your faith is small. Trust in him when you feel so weak. Trust in him when you don't know how to go on. Trust in him when you're ready to perish, ready to give up. Pour out your heart before him, because power belongeth unto God. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Well, perhaps this evening to consider this word in a different way. The strength, the power that belongs to God is what we need. The physical strength, the mental strength, strength to go on, strength to continue, strength to face tomorrow, strength for the unknown way, strength perhaps for those that you have to deal with. All those different things that come in our lives. And we go to Isaiah chapter 40. And we see here again, as really we have throughout the whole of Scripture, that power belongeth unto God. We have the one who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out the heaven with the span. The one whom before the nations are as a drop of a bucket, before whom all nations are as nothing. But for those who are weak, for those who are cast down, have ye not known, have ye not heard? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who created these things? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. He is strong in power, not one faileth. Then we have these words, why sayest thou, O Jacob? This is what Jacob speaking, this is what the people of God say from time to time. My way is hid from the Lord. My judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. How often in our lives, whether it be providentially, spiritually, perhaps both at the same time, we faint, we feel weary, we feel weak, ready to perish, ready to give up. But he fainteth not. He is never weary. He ever abides to answer the needs of his people. He giveth power. Who too? To the faint. To those who feel their need of this power. To those who feel their need of this strength. He giveth it. He giveth. Power belongeth to God. But he gives his power, he gives his strength in measure to his people. To them that have no might. He increases strength. You know, we said this morning, it comes to my mind to say again on this point of the Lord Jesus, in those times when we feel to be so weak, to feel to have no might, he increases strength. To think on the Lord Jesus in his sacred humanity here on this earth, He knew what it was to be weary. He knew what it was to be faint. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. But he knew what it was to be weary. But he giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increases strength. I think I quoted that word this morning. When he felt too under the wrath of God and his suffering, bearing that great, tremendous weight with strength enough and none to spare. You know, not so long ago someone asked me how I was feeling, and I was just about to reply to them with those words, strength enough and none to spare. But I had to stop. You know, we can't in any way imagine what that must have been like for the Lord Jesus to come to that place. But this one in whom is all power, he understands, he cares, he knows what sore temptations mean. For he has felt the same. He knows what weakness is, the bodily weakness. He has felt the same. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. We have this word shall. How many times has it come in? The Lord shall. They shall. They shall. They shall. The certainty of it. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this. That power belongeth unto God. Power to save, power to deliver, power to uphold, power to bear up, power to bear us through, power in every time of need, strength, grace to help. And we have those words, he giveth more grace. He giveth more grace as the burdens grow greater. He giveth more strength as the sufferings increase. To added affliction he addeth his mercies, to multiplied sorrows he multiplies peace. He giveth and he giveth and he giveth again. How many times we are brought into these places where we feel our weakness, we feel our insufficiency, our weariness. And these times come and go, some more, some less. But perhaps at times we'll be made to especially feel it, to feel our weakness, to draw us unto the Lord, to turn us to him, in dependence upon him, that he might give us that strength and help that we need. But as the Lord gives that power and strength and help, I say it reverently, he's none the poorer for his giving. There is a fullness that abides in Jesus our head and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. The wonderful subject that we have here, the gifts that God gives, the power, salvation, righteousness, mercy, they belong to him. But he gives, he bestows these great blessings to his people, to those who feel such a need of these things, to those who are brought down in their weakness. God hath spoken once. Twice have I that heard this, that power belongeth unto God. So we have, there's a great depth here. I feel I've only scratched the surface, but I don't want to weary you this evening. The power to save, mighty power to deliver, mighty power to help, mighty power to uphold, mighty power to sustain, mighty power for every need that we have. And just one last one. We have, I think, in the first epistle of Peter. Kept by the power of God. Is that not what we need? We need to be kept. We cannot keep ourselves any more than we cannot save ourselves. We cannot keep ourselves from falling. We cannot keep ourselves from doing that which we know to be wrong. We cannot keep ourselves unto the end. We cannot endure in our own strength. If we try to go in our own strength, we'll fail. There is that promise. The Lord's people are kept, and kept by His power, ready to be revealed, ready for that day when they shall go to be with Him forever and ever. To see His glory and to sing forth His praises to all eternity. But until that time, they are kept, and kept alone by His power. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. May the Lord forgive anything amiss. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Roland Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day there will be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock. Afterwards, Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach. And there will be an annual meeting of the trustees tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. And there will be a church meeting for the election of new chapel trees on Friday the 22nd at 7:30, followed by a members' prayer meeting. Let us close with hymn 253. To Canaan art thou bound, walk on in Jesus' might, but mark the way's holy ground, and needs a heart upright. Hymn 253.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen.